Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari
Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari
Jashodha Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnavada Paramahamsa Paribrajaka Acharya Stota Rishita Shishi Mahis Divine Grace Abhay Charananda Vibhna Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Shishi Namacharya Shahidas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jaya Jaya Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Shishi Navadvipa Mayapur Dham Ki Jaya Navan Dham Ki Jaya Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Vrinda Devi ki jai, Nita Gaur Brahmande, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 6, chapter 6, verses 136 and 137. I'll read the first verse and then I'll recite the second one together. Jivira asti vishta doi shanka gomaya, shuti vakye shay doi mahapavitra hoy. Translation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, conch shells and cow dung are nothing but the bones and stool of some living entities, but according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure. Purport. According to the Vedic principles, bones and dung are generally considered very impure. If one touches bone or stool, he must take a bath immediately. That is the Vedic injunction. Yet, the Vedas also enjoin that a conch shell, although the bone of an animal, and cow dung, although the stool of an animal, are very much sanctified. Even though such statements appear contradictory, on the basis of the Vedic version, we still accept the fact that conch shells and cow dung are pure and sanctified. Text 137, repeat after. Shutav pramana veda satya ye koya veda satya ye koya lakshana karile shutav pramanya hani hoy shutav pramana veda satya ye koya veda satya ye koya lakshana karile shutav pramanya hani hoy Sada pramana veda satya ye koya Lakshana karile sata pramanya hani hoy What do you want to chant? Sada pramana veda satya ye koya Lakshana kari sata pramanya hani hoy. Mataji? Sata pramana. Self-evidence. Veda. Vedic literature. Satya, truth. Yay, whatever. Koi, say. Lakshana, interpretation. Korile, by making. Svata Pramanya, self-evidential proof. Hani, lost. Hoi, becomes. Translation, the Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever is stated there must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of the Vedas is immediately lost. Purport. Out of the four main types of evidence, direct perception, hypothesis, historical reference, and the Vedas, Vedic evidence is accepted as the foremost. If we want to interpret the Vedic version, we must imagine an interpretation according to what we want to do. First of all, we set forth such an interpretation as a suggestion or hypothesis. As such, it is not actually true, and the self-evident proof is lost. Srila Madhvacharya, commenting on the aphorism Drishyate Tu, Vedanta Sutra 216, quotes the Bhavishya Purana as follows: Rigyajus Samataravascha Bharatam Pancharatrakam Mularamayanam Chaiva Veda Ityeva Shabditaha Puranani Chayaniha Vaishnavani Vidho Viduhu Svatav Pramanyam Etesham Natra Kinchit Vichayate. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Mahabharata, Pancharatra, and original Ramayana are all considered Vedic literature. The Puranas, such as the Brahmavivarta Purana, Naradiya Purana, Vishnu Purana, and Bhagavat Purana, are especially meant for Vaishnavas and are also Vedic literature. As such, whatever is stated within the Puranas, Mahabharata, and Ramayana is self-evident. There is no need for interpretation. The Bhagavad Gita is also within the Mahabharata. Therefore, all the statements of Bhagavad Gita are self-evident. There is no need for interpretation. And if we do interpret, the entire authority of the Vedic literature is lost. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making a very important point that the Vedas, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, whatever is given by them, it must be taken like that, as they say. And it cannot be, you know, it cannot be interpreted according to our attachments or desires or, you know, our own anartas. It must be taken as truth, and we have to follow it as it is. And if we take it according to our own sentiments or emotions, then it's completely, you know, the meaning is destroyed and there's no use to it. So, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, they have given us a specific way how to achieve the ultimate goal of life, which should be Krishna praying. And that sadhana has to be followed, that process which they have given has to be followed. Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya, has also set down, you know, according to the, you know, our nature, as he saw it, then he has set down different rules, regulations for us, and that also has to be followed very strictly. And if it's not, then how can we hope to achieve the ultimate goal of life? How can we hope to achieve what we desire, which should be Krishna praying? So one who is sincere and serious about following the path of devotional service and surrendering to Krishna, then he'll naturally follow the previous acharyas, the you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And we cannot expect to achieve that prayojana without, you know, following that. It's like, you know, if we want to cook a preparation, some recipe, then, you know, say like, you know, whatever, French fries, then there's a certain way we have to do it. We have to fry the potatoes, you know, then we have to put salt and whatever. But if, you know, if we think, oh, you know, frying is not good, or, you know, ghee is not good for my health, whatever, then I'd rather boil it. Then you won't get the desired result, which is, you know, French fries. You'll get something else. People will call you crazy, you know. You're making French fries by boiling. It's not possible. So in the same way, then, if we want to achieve Krishna prema, then we have to ultimately surrender to Krishna and very strictly follow the rules and regulations set down by the acharyas. And in that way, by following the sadhana, then we can achieve, you know, we can come to the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. So in any activity, then, there's that vastu traya, that sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. The sambandha is that we are eternal, you know, servants of Krishna, and we want to reinstate that relationship with him. So the abhideya for achieving that prayojana then is given by the acharyas. It can never be stressed enough how important it is to follow the previous acharyas. And by following that, you know, abhideya, the process, then the prayojana will definitely be attained. We have to have faith and, you know, be sincere in that process. And we have to take the prayojana as our, you know, whole life. We have to be very conscious of our prayojana all the time. Constant contemplation on how to achieve that prayojana, 24 hours a day. Then only can we achieve it. So here then, the topic being discussed, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is trying to establish his opinion on Brahman realization. And so here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is refuting that you cannot establish Vedanta according to your own, you know, according to your own speculation, your own, how it fits your own needs, your own desires. So the Vaishnava understanding of the Brahman's conception of the Lord, the Brahman aspect of Krishna, then is that is his energy. His energy is all pervading and is working, you know, everywhere at all times. So if we become conscious, we should become conscious that everything that we are dealing with in, you know, every minute, every second of our lives, everything we are dealing with is actually directly Krishna, his energy. And then in that way we can become conscious. We can become, you know, we can always think of Krishna. We can never forget him in that way. And so, and that's the process. Then we can, you know, always think of him like that. So, you know, in every relationship, and every, you know, desire, every activity, everything can be connected with the Lord, because, you know, it's ultimately his energy. But it's a matter of consciousness. One has to develop. It's a mood. A devotional service is a mood, a consciousness that one is always conscious of the Lord, always remembering him. So then, you know, so when you develop that consciousness, then you were able to surrender onto Krishna, then you can become always conscious of him. And in the beginning, then, the practice is that, you know, you're trying to connect everything to him through, you know, your desires, whatever. You may have your separate desires. That's okay, as long as you connect it with the Lord. In the beginning, the Sakam stage of devotional service, where you still have your own desires, you have anartas, then one will try to, he will engage his desires, but not forgetting the Lord, then he will offer the results of those activities to Krishna. It's like building a house. One may have a desire, he has a need to build a house for his family, his kids, whatever. So he'll build that house according to his desire, his liking, his family's liking. But he will not forget the Lord at the end of the process. He'll remember that the Lord is ultimately in control. He is providing everything for me. So then he will, you know, he'll have his, you know, how his, you know, his family, his wife, how they like the house, their rooms here and there. But then he will not forget the Lord by placing a separate part of the house for, you know, Krishna's worship. So in that way, then, we can do that in all of our activities. And in that way, then, we can become fully conscious of him. We cannot forget him. And eventually, then, we will realize, by constantly connecting everything to him in that way, they will come to the understanding that there is actually nothing but the Lord, you know, in the creation. There is, you know, you'll have that realization that everything is for the Lord. So then what is the point of, you know, just offering a result? I should offer everything to the Lord. And it will come out as, you know, one will perform direct devotional service. That's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atminivedanam. That one will constantly engage in those nine direct processes and be able to fully remember the Lord at all times in his life. And if we keep that, you know, in the Sakam stage, if we just keep that goal fixed, that we want to develop pure love for Krishna, then it will definitely, you know, then eventually we will purify ourselves, we will purify the desires, purify, you know, the anartas, cleanse the heart of all the dust, and be able to fully take to the direct devotional process of, you know, the direct devotional service of the Lord. And then when we take this very seriously, then one will develop love for the Lord and the ultimate goal of life can be achieved. And ultimately, there's no necessity for actually endeavoring for any material happiness. One can surrender to the Lord completely and he can have all, you know, all his desires fully fulfilled very quickly and in a better way. Actually, Chanakya Pandit says that that what is the use of endeavoring for all material happiness and, you know, sense gratification, because at the time of birth, it is already set down for us what we will enjoy and what we will get, you know, in our life. So there's actually no need for endeavoring for those things. And also in Bhagavatam, it is quoted that tasyaiva hetav pradayateta kovido nalabhyate yad bharatam uparyadaha talabhyate dukavaranyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabiraram hasa. That an intelligent person will simply endeavor for that thing which is unconquerable, which is unavailable from the highest planet down to the lowest. And that is love for Krishna. And he will not bother with things which are already attained in his life, which is already predestined for him. So this is the mood of devotional service. This is the mentality that we're trying to develop, that we don't want to over endeavor for sense gratification, for material happiness. Instead, we should take to something which is very rare, which is natural for us, which is eternal. Because things are always changing in this world, you know, the material world is temporary. So we will endeavor for something, but it will ultimately be lost at the end. But something that will not go away, something that will be eternal with us, that's Krishna praying, redeveloping our lost relationship with Krishna. So if we take that seriously, then we can actually be happy. If we try to separate ourselves from the Lord and try to get something from material happiness, from sense gratification, then we'll ultimately be frustrated. There's no hope in that. The only hope is the holy name of the Lord, you know, in his devotional service. And ultimately then we have to take to the process of Sarvadharma Parityaja, that fully give up everything and just surrender to Krishna. And Krishna will protect us, there is no doubt. He will protect us from everything. He will make us happy in all of our attempts. And if we take to that, then all of our attempts will be to satisfy him anyway. So that will be happy. And, you know, this is devotional service. You know. This is whatever our acharyas have given. Sensible goal that we have, that we can make in our lives, is to take to devotional service and develop our relationship with Krishna. Because everything else is just temporary, it's unsensible, it's unpractical. Some people say that devotional service is, you know, not practical, it's the modern day and age, you know, it's not very practical for, you know, living a life in, you know, America 2012, but it's just a matter of that they're lacking faith. They don't have faith that Krishna is there. He is supplying everything. He's supplying all the needs of all the conditioned souls. So why won't he supply for you? Why won't he supply for you if you surrender to him? It's simply a matter of, you know, faith, that you can put your faith into Krishna and he will protect you. And this is what is obtainable in human form of life, which is unattainable in any other form of life. That we can develop consciousness of God, self-realization, and develop our relationship with Krishna. In any other form of life, then it is possible to get sense gratification, sleep, eat, mate, and defend. It's possible in any form of life. But what is not possible in that form of life is developing a consciousness of God, Krishna consciousness. So if we take our human form of life valuably and try to perfect it, then we will naturally take to the process of devotional service, because that is the only way. And our attempts in material life, our desires will be fulfilled, and ultimately we will give up everything and surrender to Krishna. The example in Bhagavatam is given of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, that they were... Kardama Muni, he was praying to the Lord that, I am very fallen, I still have lusty desires. And please, my Lord, he performed penance for 10,000 years. And then at the end, then the Lord came to him, he said, I understand your desire and let it be fulfilled. So Krishna arranged for him the most, most qualified wife for him. So Krishna can do it. Krishna will do it if you surrender to him. Krishna can arrange, everything for you, for your ultimate benefit. you know, it's the same. It's just a matter of faith. One puts his faith in the Lord, then Krishna will not let anyone down. So, I don't know how long it can go on.
It's a 2-hour class.
2 hours. Questions? Comments? Help?
That was such a nice verse that you quoted. Where is it from? Was that Rashad?
It's Bhagavatam. Fifth chapter. One of them.
Narada Muni talking
first
to
the
Vyasa Deva.
Yeah.
I thoroughly thought your class was, it hit all the points for you to understand, and then as our lives are going on, we're finding all these points that you mentioned in practical life. If you have any desires, how it covers the philosophy. And this particular point is that how in the verse it was that you can have mental concoctions and miss the direct perception. So we notice that we have a little bit of that in all of us, at least I know I do, that when there's some material desire, it tries to adjust. You can feel it trying to adjust the philosophy, but by good association, by having good association, the real meaning comes out, and you feel this particular pastime unfolding in your own heart of how to, oh, that's what this means, that sense gratification. That's what I'm thinking of. Oh, that's what has to be given up, because it's a process of realization. So the realization comes at that point when he surrenders those desires. So he sees the desires, they get silhouetted by the good association and hearing. And then we either progress on, or that's when the anartha turns into a aparad and our progress is checked for some time. So it was such a relevant class, and the way that you mentioned the Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana was so nice. Could you expand a little on the Prayojana, what that term means? And you said always have it fixed in your mind. So,
When you were talking, I was just thinking that it's natural, yeah, that because of our anarthas, because of our desires and conditioning, you know, since time immemorial, that when we read the Vedic literature, then we'll try to adjust it. When we hear our instructions, different instructions, then we'll try to adjust it according to our thoughts, our emotions and everything. And then that's why the association of devotees, that's why, you know, one should be very sincere in wanting to obtain the goal, that these things will not actually disturb them. It'll be natural that they will disturb. They'll try to, you know, interpret the meaning because of our, you know, our conditioning. But when one is sincere and serious about, you know, performing devotional service, then one can, you know, eradicate these things, one can take away these things. And prayojana then it means the goal of one's life, the goal of an activity. Sambandha Abhidaya and prayojana can actually be applied to anything, you know, any activity in life. But the ultimate Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana, the eternal Vasuchaya, is that we have a relationship with Krishna and we set our Prayojana in our lives, that we want to develop, we want to reinstate that relationship with Krishna. And then the Acharyas give the process how to do that. And
what if one of the students at the school goes to Maharaj and says he thinks Krishna isn't giving him enough? What would Maharaj tell him?
Uh, He's talking about Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj. He's in charge of Guru.
Guru Kula Maharaj.
Yeah, Guru Kula Maharaj. Probably get a little sauce and, you know. Maharaj will probably will preach to him for a while.
Anyway, thank you, Prabhu. Very nice lecture, class. And it's a good example for the other generations, so second future generations, to that they can keep preaching this movement, you know, Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada's books. So anyway, my question is, after reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita today, all those books, Vedic literature, and all those great acharyas, very prominent. I think we have all the material the Prabhupada has given us to spread Krishna consciousness, you know. So my real question is, what about somebody comes with a book, made his own book and bring his own book? How is that considered? Bona fide? Related to the Vedas. Is this considered bona fide?
Well, if it's coming down in our line, the Acharya Srila Prabhupada is given the curriculum for going back home, back to Godhead, so it's in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, then yeah, why not?
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. When I think of you and Ram and stuff, I always tell Kripa Sindhu how lucky he is. His kids are spiritual. And it's just such a nice thing. It's such a contrast to my own children. Anyway, I just want to tell a little anecdote from yesterday in Sankirtan. I was distributing books, and this lady was sitting in her car, and I gave her the vegetarian cookbook. She gave a couple dollar donation, gave that book to her, and she looked at it and said, "Oh, I'm a vegetarian." She said, "No, she didn't say I'm a vegetarian." She said, "Oh, I'm into organic stuff and health." And she gave me her card, and she has an organic farm. She's sitting in her car, eating a hamburger from Burger King, honest to God. And she hands me her card. I'm an organic gardener, and I grow and produce organic things. And I said, "What's up with the burger?" And she goes, "Well, I was in a hurry today. I didn't have anything to eat." So this just gives you a glimpse of what, you know, even somebody who's thinking, it should be chemical-free, it should be organic and natural. She's sitting there eating a burger, and everybody knows what's in those. And when I questioned her on it, she just shook her head and said, "Yeah, I know it's disgusting, but I was in a hurry. I didn't have anything to eat." So it just made me think how important it is to go out and preach, because nobody has a clue. People are lost, and they're just walking around, going from one sense object to the next sense object, and they don't even ever put it together how insane it is. But anyway, she got the book, and I told her to chant the mantra, but it was just such a contrast, you know. She's, "Oh, yeah, I have an organic farm, and I grow my own eating depth, a burger."
The depth of their beliefs.
They're eating the pink slime.
I just wanted to thank you very much for your class. It was very relatable, and it just helped me to realize this concern I've always had when, you know, the imperfection of Kali Yuga. I mean, and adhering to the Veda as it is, the Vedas as it is, as you said, you know what I mean? Like, the challenges and, like, constantly trying to adhere to those, the prescription. But there's so much imperfections in the process, not necessarily interpreting it, but kind of like cultivating it or living it, you know? So I don't really have a question. It was just more of a comment of thanking you for helping me to solidify that thought process of, you know, adhering to the Vedas, you know, in terms of following, sticking to the process.
Well, I made it to 8:30. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
Haribol.
Haribol.